To the book of 1 Corinthians, and I don't think I'm going to get all this preached tonight. If it be the Lord's will, we will. If not, we'll pick up later. I'd rather end at a good place than try to get it all in and wear out the saints. I want to read one verse. Of course, we understand the people of Corinth. They were saved but carnal. Paul said they were. So it is possible to be saved and worldly. That's a very, the Lord put this church, this book, this epistle in the Word of God. Matter of fact, he put two epistles to them in here. And so, I taught this book at Tabernacle. And I tell these young preachers, pastoring is a wonderful thing. But not only do you have to contend with your problems and your own spirituality.
That's right.
I don't get up to bed this chipper. I have the flesh like everybody.
Yeah.
But also, you as a pastor, you contend with that of the people that go there.
Right.
God has made you to be overseer of that flock.
That's right.
Not dictatorship, but overseeing. And of course, there, if anything with two heads is a monstrosity, it's a monster.
Right.
So the Lord is the chief shepherd, and he allows me to be the under shepherd. And we're just trying to be stewards of what God gave us. And so there is a negative sign because we all live in the flesh.
Right. Right.
We all battle the flesh.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't battle my flesh. Well, you battle lying. And that's of the flesh. So we all have that situation. We all battle that. And again, just because I give that statement doesn't give us a license to sin.
That's right.
But yet we do have a struggle. Paul said, "In me that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing."
Right.
So if in our flesh, our natural man, there's nothing good in it, so there's nothing good coming out of it. And so, Paul, I told those boys, there's negatives to it. And folks, I understand, I'm not responsible for your spirituality, but yet sometimes we have to get involved. And so Paul's involved. He's involved with people that had talent. They had intellect. They had a bunch of gifts that God had given them. And instead of it humbling them, and them giving God the glory, they got in competition with them. They began to worship their gifts. And they began to put themselves in different positions. Well, I'm better, I'm higher spiritual than you because I know this or I can do that. Well, that's not it at all. But yet, and if you're not careful, that'll get us carnal. Well, they had different debates, and Paul was called on to try to settle some of these. And that's what's happening here. Paul is dealing with believers. Now they're taking each other to court, and they're suing each other. And Paul is dealing with that in chapter 6. And of course, then he goes now to the second part of the chapter. And he talks about certain sin. In other words, you practice these things, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, all these things. If you have a lifestyle of these things, you're not going to heaven. You need to get saved. If that's your lifestyle. Are you listening to me? In verse 11, he said, "And such were some of you." Hello. Such were. That's past tense. "But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now verse 12, he said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So he gives them this statement. They were allowing the things of the flesh. They've been allowing things, the carnality, to put them in a bondage they didn't have to live in. Paul said in Romans 6, "Sin shall not have dominion over us." We don't have to sin anymore. The devil's not our father. God is. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We have a choice.
Right.
Folks, when you get saved, you don't sin because you have to. We sin because we choose to.
Right.
When we're walking in the flesh, we'll do the things of the flesh. But there's some principles here. And if I get to it, we're going to be going through from chapter 6, and we'll go through some other chapters and looking at this thought, powerful principles for practice. Now, the Word of God is a book of laws, morals, and principles. It's a book of do's and don'ts. There's the law. But a lot of folks say, well, I don't see a do or a don't there. It may not be there, but the moral of the principle is.
Right. Amen.
Well, you can't show me that in the Bible. I may not be able to show you a do or don't, but I can show you a principle.
Right.
I can show you a moral that God has set up.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So don't just say, well, the Bible didn't say I couldn't do it. Well, Paul said it may be lawful for me, but it's sure not expedient for me. It's not expedient for me. The word expedient means helpful, profitable, good. Folks, it's lawful if I want to eat a double chili cheese aplenty from the Beacon. Hey, I ain't breaking a law. I'm not breaking one of God's laws either. Ron, put your fingers in your ears. You don't need to hear none of this. But it's not expedient. There ain't nobody. I'm with y'all. I'm wrong. I shouldn't even said that. Everybody said, you done meddling tonight. Preacher, if I brought you one tonight, would you eat it? Sure I would. I'd get really deep in the Word. I'd ask the blessing over it. Amen. So the first principle I want to look at tonight is the principle of expediency. Look at the text. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. See, some things I mentioned that double chili cheese. Now, folks, I'm gonna tell you something. It's lawful, but if I eat one every day, it's not helpful for me.
That's right.
And it's not only going to hurt me physically, it'll hurt me spiritually. How will that hurt you spiritually, preacher? Because I'll have to buy bigger clothes. And I don't need that. And you'll say, boy, the preacher, he's been a glutton in them cheeseburgers. Well, I'm sorry. The greatest food on earth is a cheeseburger. That's the greatest food. I preacher, you think it'd be a marriage? Oh yeah, I'm gonna have cheeseburgers everywhere at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I could eat one every day. Sometimes I do, but it ain't a double. And it ain't a plenty. So we have a principle of expediency. So there's a compound principle here. There's two things here. Number one, he said, is it lawful? Is there any word from God concerning the matter? That's what you got to first think about. What does God say? What does the Lord want in this? See, if we don't do that, in all thy ways acknowledge him and allow him to direct our path, we're missing it. Is it lawful? Lord, what do you say about it? But then, is it expedient? Lawful's first. Lord, what do you think? Lord, what does your word say? A lot of our issues can be taken care of in this principle right here. Then is it expedient? Expedient means that which serves to promote or advance, to bring toward a destination. Every decision or activity either moves us toward God or moves us away from God. Lord, this may be lawful, but folks, some things might be right, but not right for you. Get a hold of that. Some things might be right, but not right for you. So now, Lord, will this bring me closer to the Lord or bring me back farther from the Lord? I want to tell you what Dr. Seidler, he never said this to me, but he used to say this to preacher boys. When God calls you to preach, sell your hunting rifle. What he meant was, hey, if you're not careful, you'll let a hobby take you away from God. Now, if I convicted anybody tonight, let me know if you want to sell one. I promise you, hunting, golf, ain't none of that got me. To God be the glory. Them cheeseburgers are what got me. So we have the principle of expediency. Is it going to take me? Whatever it is, you ain't got to ask the preacher. Now, if you need to, that's fine. We'll work through it. But yet, you have the Holy Spirit that lives within you. You have the Word of God. Preacher, I don't know. Should I get involved in that? Anything we choose that we know is going to get us farther away from the Lord, that's a no. Now, I'm not saying, I said if we choose it. I didn't say if it comes a time where we can't help it. We live in a time now, there's some things we can't help, we have to do. I'm not talking about sin now, but I'm saying if I have a choice, if I have a choice in something, and I say, well, let me count the cost. Now, we count the cost, lopsided. It's going to give me more of this. It's going to get me here. It's going to get me there. And you hear it's me. I won't. I think. But then we don't count the cost spiritually. Are you hanging with me? Because when it's in that case, and I've been there, and some of you may have, that we've done got our mind made up. I'm doing this. Knowing the potential that it has to drag us away from God. There's nothing in your life that you ought to choose that you know will take you away from the Lord. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nothing. So there is a principle there. Will this be good for me spiritually? Will this help me spiritually? Will this be what I need spiritually? Am I going to grow in grace or will I eventually drift away? Folks, I believe we'll take every decision that serious. Every decision that serious. There is a principle of expediency. But look at verse 12 again. There's a principle of enslavement. See, if we choose wrong, we'll begin to serve it. Paul said, here's what I'm going to do. Let me read it to you. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. Listen, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If we make the wrong decision, we allow something in our life that is going to take us away from God, I promise you it will do its very best to enslave you with it. That's right. Preacher, what do you mean enslave me with it? Get you to the point that now it's going to be hard to undo it. That's right. It's going to be hard to change it. It's going to be hard to remove it. Amen. Come on. Come on. I had an illustration, but I'm not going to give that. So Paul said, I won't be brought under the power. It means to be enslaved. Brought under the power means to be enslaved. So ask yourself tonight, is there any attraction or habit, any attitude or way of thinking, any activity, any avenue or pursuit that's in, we're involved in right now that may not be sin on the surface, but it's enslaved you? Thus has drifted, made you drift away from the Lord. I say get rid of it as fast as you can. Young people, it could be a boy or a girlfriend. Hello. It could be decisions, whatever they may be, even for adults. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no sense in you choosing something that you know is going to drive you away from the things of God and not think it will not encapture you. That's a principle. In that one verse, we have two principles: the principles of expediency and the principle of enslavement. Paul said, hey, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of that. Man, that's stout. Paul said, hey, and folks, you got to be living really close to God and the Spirit of God being able to, hey, listen to the Spirit of God give you that warning. Folks, I've talked myself into stuff knowing. I'm not talking about wicked sin. I'm talking about knowing it was going to cost me time with God. Knowing that I was going to be putting myself in a position where I was going to be in a mess. I'll give an example. When I worked at International Wire. I was a laborer. I worked there a little over 10 years, and 9 of it, I was a laborer. I was the mule. I picked it up. I put it, and was content with that. Well, the church was just getting started, and dumb me. Here's how they worked, how they did there. They put up job bids. And most of the time, you guys know what I'm telling you, they already knew who was going to get it. So as a joke, I bid it on a supervisor's job. And got it. Well, man, I knowed that wasn't for me. I wasn't supposed to do that. And I told this guy working, it was in the front office, I said, how in the world did I get that? And he said, you have a degree. I said, but what does that job got to do with a theology bachelor? He said, we don't care. You got the paper. I said, well, I'll probably turn it down. Boy, he got upset. This company's trying to get more of this, and they trying to do this, and they try. I didn't a bit more know what. For a year, I felt like, man, I'm going to tell you something. I went through the tribulation for that year, knowing that ain't what I was supposed to be doing. Knowing I wasn't supposed to do that, and let somebody talk me into it. And for 1 year, buddy, I suffered. Whew. I could have put a spin on it like this was the Lord's getting me ready to pastor. Because everybody liked me until I was the supervisor and they hated me. People used to love me when I was a preacher boy and I'd go by their church and preach. Man, you're awesome. You're wonderful. I became their pastor in 3 months. I can't stand the ground you walk on. Kind of like supervising. And I was, God was birthing this church. And me knowing. They'd send me to these classes, they'd send me to this stuff. And me sitting there going, I don't want no part of this. I don't want to do this. What was I thinking? And I'd look at myself, man, you big man, let a little fella talk, hey, guilt you into taking a job you know you weren't supposed to get. God delivered me, but he had me for 1 year. I was enslaved to it now. I was enslaved to it. I'll be honest with you, folks. I walked around that department I was over. I didn't know. I just walk around and look. I'm not kidding you. I was supervisor over the warehouse, and they said, we ain't got no real. I said, I can't help it. What do you want me to do? Do they sell them at Walmart? What do you want me? Well, it's your job to make sure they're here. I said, really? And I went to asking people that were under me, what'll I do? Well, you got to call these customers and tell them, hey, send these reels back. I said, I can do that. Just, man, it was misery. What I allowed was this. Wasn't nothing wrong with the job. What was wrong was me in it. God taught me a lesson. You've allowed that for 1 year. It was misery. Miserable. I mean miserable. I could tell y'all some other stuff. You'd laugh, but you'd see, preacher, you shouldn't have done that. I won't do all that. Wasn't nothing illegal. It just wasn't expedient. The principle of expedient, then the principle of enslavement. But let me hurry. Then go to chapter 8. This may be as far as I get. Chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, now the debate is this. Eating things that have been offered to idols. That's the deal. Is it right or is it wrong? I'm not going to take time to read. You can read 1 Corinthians 8 through 13. Corinthians was a pagan city. Matter of fact, they all was until Paul brought the gospel. But it was a pagan city. People practiced idol worship. People sacrificed sheep or goats to their little g gods. They would sell, after they'd sacrifice, they'd sell the meat to a butcher in a market. The butcher would resell it at discounted prices. This was, I'm talking about filet mignons, ribeyes, high five for the ribeye. The ribeye, I mean, the choice meat that the common man could not afford. I mean, some of them boys was probably turners. Hey, they're sacrificing that cow. I got my eye on that one. When they take it to the market, I'm buying it. Now, Paul told them that meat is nothing. It's nothing. And so they're fussing back and forth. Should we eat it? Should we not eat it? Christians shouldn't eat that meat. It's been offered to idols. Well, what does it matter? I don't worship that idol. I'd eat that meat. So what do? They turn to Paul for the answer. And I like this. Get this. Paul didn't give a rule, but he gave a principle. Yeah. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the principle is as tough as the rule if you're not filled with the Spirit. The meat meant nothing. He told them plainly, but then he said, don't do anything that could make yourself a stumbling block to a weaker brother. Right. The question wasn't, will it hurt me if I eat it? But it became, will it hurt my brother if I eat it? Now, folks, we're not talking about a bunch of Pharisees that's going to try to find fault in whatever you do. These were people that sincerely, it would hinder them. It would hinder these young Christians. Man, God saved us out of that. I used to worship that idol. I was part of those sacrifices. And now, you led me to Christ. And you're going down there to the market as soon as they bring that meat in and buying it. And I used to bow to it. That bothers me. And it did genuinely. Sincerely, it bothered them. And it became a stumbling block to them. It hindered them from growing. They saw others and they didn't have an example in their own heart of what Christians should be. And Paul said, hey, that meat's nothing. It ain't about me eating it if it's going to hurt me. It's about me eating it and it's going to hurt you. Y'all hear that? Okay. There's something going on. I thought my foot. Every time I moved, it done it. Folks, if we ever got to that place, if we ever got to that place of saying, you know what? Now, again, you saved any length of time, you know the difference of a young Christian that might be hurt because they don't understand, or just one of them old fogies that's just pharisaical. I know the difference. I've been around them. Hello. I've been around these preachers that everything's wrong, but breathe it. But they wouldn't work in a pie factory tasting pies. They come into church and had 6-7 kids, and they come in, just dressed to kill in their suit, walking a foot and a half in front of their wife, dragging all that stuff in, fighting them all during service. They come sit on the front row and shout while their wife's back there fighting those children. You can't tell me nothing, Hoss.
That's right.
You ain't got a word for me. I don't care what you think. Those are the kind I don't worry with. Get your house in order, then come talk to me. Hello? But there are some young Christians this week in the faith. There were some young Christians in this text, weak in the faith. Paul said, I won't eat it while the world stands if I think it's going to harm one of these people. What are you willing not to do to keep from harming another Christian? What are you willing to give up? Whew. That's deep. Now, I can just imagine the frustration of that answer, because neither side of this argument was spirit-filled. And all nonsense like this is doing is causing division in the church. Paul said, hey, y'all hurting each other. It ain't the point, can or can I not. How's it going to affect this body? How's it going to affect this body? You know, we have the man. Folks, fellas, I don't know what these speakers are doing, but they worry me to death. But that is a selfless Christian. Selfless. It ain't about me anymore. When's the last time you denied yourself something because it just the possibility or you knowing there's a young Christian, there's a weak Christian that is looking to me, that is looking up to me, and just like this text, they got saved out of this stuff. They got saved out of this stuff. And if I'm hanging around it, even though I'm not involved, what's it going to cause them? What's it going to cause them? And there's some issues I could even mention tonight, but I don't want us in a debate before I leave. Then there's a few more we might try to get into later. But there's principles here that Paul is trying to get a carnal group beyond themselves with. Because, folks, it doesn't matter what. The most important thing in our lives is pleasing the Lord. It's not pleasing the preacher. It's not pleasing a pope. It's not pleasing people. It's pleasing the Lord. And Paul says, you want to please the Lord? Don't hurt these weaker people. Don't make yourself a stumbling block. And can I say this? And I say it in love. Your opinion ain't always needed. Nor wanted. Even as pastor, I've learned over the years, I don't stuff my opinion down people's throats, no matter how right I think I am. All it does is make it worse. I'm not talking about staying away from truth, but I'm talking about my opinion on something. Folks, you understand that we may have a difference of opinion, and we both could be right or we both could be wrong. That's right. And at the end of the day, what does it matter? I'm not talking about stuff that God calls sin. Please understand what I'm telling you. Well, I think you'll do it like this. I think you'll do that. I think you'll go there. I think you just need to pray. Just pray. Not everybody's where you are. And not everybody wants what you know. We're all going to give account of ourselves to God. Let me repeat that. We're all going to give account to ourselves to God. You do what you feel God wants you to do in a situation in your life, whatever. And you know what? That exactly works for you. God, that's the way God's leading you in that. But it may not be the way God's leading someone else in it. They mess it up. They might be. They might be. Folks, we can't drive them. I found out people will shut you down quicker by trying to drive your opinion into them. Folks, as a young pastor, I used to try to make robots out of church people. You just do what I say do. That's ridiculous. Because I found out I wasn't doing everything just right either. These principles. Paul is trying to get a church to get spiritual. And being spiritual doesn't mean you know 100 verses by heart. I mean, that's wonderful. But being spiritual has to do with your behavior toward God and others and where you put Him in it. Let's all stand. Ms. Courtney's coming. I'll stop right there. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks are coming. Folks are coming. Thank you for your patience tonight, church. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for one moment. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never been saved.